Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the War Room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 186, The Nice Guys.
Yeah.
The return of the return of Shane Black.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're up for good this time.
Yes. So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Orlandez.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Just real quick, shameless plugs. Much quicker than the last one, I promise. don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate and review. You could be our 100th rating. Or our 59th review.
We have 100 ratings.
We have 100. What did I say?
100th.
101.
Yes.
Rating.
100 plus.
Yes. So I told you math. Not my strong suit. That's why there was a 20-year gap between the end of college and graduating.
You had to get yourself ready to go.
It was all I had, yeah. Steal my nerves to take a math class.
I don't blame you. Math is awful.
Yes, it is. It's horrendous. So, don't forget, you can go there and do all that. Rate and review. It helps us a lot. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers, where you can go and join our League of Show Sharers and get your name read on the show. You will be the envy of all your friends, unless they share it.
And then
like I
whatever.
Did it too. Like, whoop-de-doo. So. So anyway, there's all our shameless plugs. We will now dissect The Nice Guys, which sounds messy. Joe?
Yeah, so, we've talked about Shane Black before, and he has written, he's responsible for Lethal Weapon, he's responsible for The Last Boy Scout, he's responsible for Monster Squad, he's responsible...
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Two out of three ain't bad.
He wrote Monster Squad.
In the immortal words of Meat Loaf. Yeah, right.
So then The Long Kiss Goodnight isn't his worst one.
No. Is that him?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Yes, it was his worst.
I think he was a ghostwriter on Lost, too. Just the last few seasons.
Low-hanging fruit.
He also he wrote and directed Iron Man 3. He's also responsible for Predator as well.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's nice to see...
And most recently...
Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang, which kind of brought Robert Downey Jr. back.
His masterpiece.
Yeah. I think Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang is probably one of the greatest action comedies, but more on the comedy side. Like, that movie is brilliant. through and through, they've got an amazing mystery going on throughout the... They never...
It's amazing in that it's a parody of 80s action movies.
It is.
But it is also an effective 80s action movie.
Correct.
Even though it's not made in the
80s. There's no mullets in this one.
Yeah, right. But it effectively is that movie and as a parody of that movie, but not like a Zucker Brothers kind of parody.
It's not Loaded Weapons.
It's like a
Loaded Weapons.
It's like a
I
love that movie.
It's like a deconstruction of those movies.
Yes, because, I would agree with that.
Because it's very meta. It's very aware of what it is. Like they have the reference about how it's always Christmas time and there's always a glass table and like there's the bad guy to fall through.
Exactly.
And so it's like it's very aware of what it's doing.
Which one are you talking about?
Kiss, Kiss, Bang.
Okay, okay.
And, you're talking about the brilliance of Loaded Weapon.
The Last Boy Scout is kind of the same way.
It's not quite to that degree.
Right.
I don't think they could quite double down on that. Like
not
they,
then.
Not it, yeah, not at that point.
Because they were right in the middle.
Because that's
of,
like what, like 90?
I thought it was like 91.
91, I think.
But it's close. Like it's,
right.
I mean, you're what, 3 or 4 years removed from Die Hard and Lethal Weapon, and you know, Lethal Weapon is still coming out at that. I guess they're both coming out.
It's 91.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, that was, oh man, that whole last scene where they're walking next to each other.
Sure.
And he was like, so I pick up a surfboard, and when I hit him, I say, "Surf's up," right? And he's like, yeah, it's pretty good. You know, like that
line.
It's
like junior meta.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, you could tell he wanted to trend that direction, but they just didn't have the courage yet.
Probably not, yeah.
Especially on what was supposed to be a pretty high budget, big
action. Yeah,
that was not a cheap movie.
No. But yeah, like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is, it is Robert Downey Jr.'s return to form. Like that's the one, I think that's
Val Kilmer's farewell,
I guess.
He's in a different form now.
Round. But yeah, that is like the last good time you see.
He's like a MacGruber. Val Kilmer Russian nesting doll.
Like if you open him up,
oh, there's Batman. There's the Saint.
There's the doors. And in the very middle is Real Genius. There's Real Genius.
Doc
Holliday is probably all the way.
So maybe Russell Crowe in this movie is doing a parody of Val Kilmer.
Man, they did. I'll tell you what, they did a great job of hiding that gut in Man of Steel. Because
I was like,
he is huge in this movie.
Yeah. But I think that's his normal. I think that's his normal butt. You think he put on weight, or do you?
Yeah, I think he put on weight
for the movie, or just
in
general.
I think he's just put on weight
for the movie.
Sure.
Wow. He's like DiCaprio-esque.
I do think he actually gained. Like this is like the biggest I've seen him.
Yeah, that's right. It was surprising. I mean.
Yeah.
I've never seen the guy that's big, and I'm not saying he's like morbidly obese, but I was thinking that too.
I was just like, based off of like even American Gangster, like from a couple years ago. It's just like,
he's never looked like that before.
It's right for the character.
It is.
Oh yeah, it matches. Yeah, it works.
I actually, so if you've ever seen L.A. Confidential, which I'm sure probably everybody has, I wonder if this is Butch in like 20 years. Like he's been kicked off the force and now he's a gun for hire. I was like, I could totally see this
same universe.
Yeah, I could totally see this being like a pseudo sequel to L.A. Confidential. So anyway, the movie starts with there's a sports car zipping down
a hillside
and it crashes through this house. And it's the kid from Iron Man 3.
It is,
which I thought was great. I was like, so I thought this was going to be like a flashback, but it's,
I was thinking that too.
And it's not.
I had the hardest time figuring out
what was happening. Yeah, because I thought that was like a young Russell Crowe.
Ryan Gosling.
He had like a mole on his face or whatever. Okay. So I thought they were alluding to the...
Which is just a great scene where he's breaking... Like his parents were sleeping and he takes a flashlight and goes in and like steals the dad's...
Nudie mags.
And of course, Misty Mountain is Misty like the Mountains. First. Like I'm laughing because I was like, oh, that name's fantastic.
Yeah. But it's so weird.
I got that Zeppelin song stuck in my head.
I did too after watching it. I was just like,
what was really interesting, just to interject here, because this is when it started in my theater when I saw the movie, this had the most polarizing effect of audience members not knowing if it was okay to laugh. Some people laughing, some people like, is this serious? Like, it was a very odd
way to begin.
I think if you're a fan of Shane Black, you know that you're supposed to laugh. If you don't know anything about, like, I could see where that would be like, am I supposed to?
This person's dying on their last breath. Like, so people were silent, and then I had a guy like cackling, and it was
because
she's naked.
She's completely naked, but she's also laying in the most.
She's posing like the magazine.
Yeah. So like, if you know Shane Black, you know he does that stuff on purpose. Yeah. So, and then she says, you know. How do you like the car, big boy?
Yeah.
And then we go right into the movie, and it's Russell Crowe, Butch. I don't know what his name is. He's kind of like he's the guy that you hire if you want to beat somebody up. So
he's Wade Wilson.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
a much larger version of Wade Wilson.
Oh.
I mean, are you saying that he's
too soon?
Are you saying that Ryan Reynolds
too soon?
Is it too soon?
I don't think so.
Too soon to discuss his weight.
Are you saying he's the Melissa McCarthy of Mercenaries? Is that what you're saying, Joe?
I did not say that. No, Mercenaries kill people. He's just punching people. He kind of gets. I'm trying to think. Does he talk to the girl first about the guy's following her, or does he punch the dude who's hitting on the 13-year-old.
Yeah, the 13-year-old. To show what he does. Yeah.
So, like, this douchebag in the 70s is this 13-year-old riding with him, and he...
So now this is supposed to be Roman Polanski, right?
I have to believe, like, that's what this is. I don't think he's doing that on purpose. Like, they don't really say he's a film director, but yeah. He's in the industry.
And the time,
it matches perfectly.
Works out pretty well, yeah. too.
Right. And Shane, again, Shane Black is insanely smart.
Yeah,
like, that's the other thing is, like, he's no dummy.
Yeah, this is like, and much the same way that Tom referred to the Grand Budapest Hotel being the Wes Anderson. This is the Shane Blackest movie.
This is honestly, I as I'm watching it, I realize this is Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with a big budget.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not a problem.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was supposed to have a big budget.
Right.
And its original cast dropped out.
Who was the original cast?
Johnny Knoxville.
Oh.
It happened in that brief window of time where people thought he was going to be a thing.
Bam. Yeah.
And I forget who the other one was supposed to be.
Was Knoxville supposed to be Robert Downey Jr.?
Yes. And whoa. I forget who the other guy was supposed to be, but it was supposed to be Johnny Knoxville. And then he went and made Dukes of Hazzard.
Ooh, good.
Okay.
Because
why not?
They had a Confederate flag. How can he say no?
Yeah.
You know, and so they retooled. They got Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer, and they slashed the budget.
Okay,
but ironically, I think that's why he got to direct. I don't think he was going to get to direct with Knoxville. But then when the budget dropped, the studio was like, oh, "Who cares?
Whatever."
Yeah,
and yeah, I don't think he had directed before. I feel like the Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is his first.
I think so. Yeah,
and it was Iron Man 3.
And then I think they really screwed up with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang because they worked it as like an art house movie.
They did,
yep.
And it kind of has that look. But
yeah,
Robert Downey Jr. wasn't a name. Val Kilmer hadn't been a name in years,
right.
and Shane Black, only the nerds really knew who he was.
Exactly.
But it was like, but nothing about that film, if you see it, says art house.
No,
like it's,
no, it's definitely, you know, a small budget, but it doesn't feel that way.
But it's definitely slick and accessible and
yep.
fun.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
So he kind of walks in on this guy, and she leaves, the girl leaves, the 13-year-old leaves, he's got the brass knucks on his hand and just waylays him and not, you know, does he knock his teeth out? Either way, he punches him in the face.
Yeah.
And he was like, don't do that again. And he leaves. So that's our first introduction to, Russell Crowe, who plays, Healy.
Is his Jackson name.
Jackson
Healy.
That's what a great name.
Yeah.
That's an awesome name. That is a total guy who just punched you in the face name. So the next scene, we're introduced to Ryan Gosling, who is in a bathtub, and you just assume he's assume he's in a bathtub, and then he stands up and he's in like this full suit, which I thought was great.
A full bathtub, we
a
will
full
say.
Bathtub, yeah.
yeah.
And you know, we've talked about Ryan Gosling as well, where he was really on an uptick too. Like he had Drive, yeah. and he had Beyond the Pines.
Place Beyond
the Pines, and he was really on this. Really,
he's good in everything.
What was that other movie?
Crazy
Stupid Love. He was amazing.
He was great.
Fantastic. Yeah, that was,
but I don't think any of those were really big hits.
They weren't. But I'm just saying,
I don't think he's ever had a misstep though. He's good.
But what was the other movie from the director of Drive though? God,
God Only Knows You're Dead.
Yeah,
something.
I'll look it up here. But so Joe and I love Drive, and
yeah,
I was so offended it wasn't on, you know, the year before at the Oscars, they had 10, and they cut down to 9 nominees and didn't nominate Drive.
Yeah, Drive was so good.
So Joe and I are like, well, we'll rent the VOD of the Only God Knows whatever, and I'll look it up here.
It was a
Only God
wreck.
Forgives.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were going to do a podcast, which we did directly after, and we watched this movie, and we're like, what is this?
It was a train. And he was in Gangster Squad. Which,
oh, yeah.
The movie was all right.
That.
He was great in that though.
I'm telling you, Ryan Gosling, I think, is a very versatile actor. I think he can play the serious, he can do the comedy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think his comedic chops are overlooked.
He's fantastic in this. Hell, if you want to go back even more, remember The Titans. For like his,
I forgot he was in
right?
that. Yeah,
I
yeah.
always forget
he,
that too.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
He's the Jesus one, right?
Oh God.
Either way,
something. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and he's done comedy
he took Donald
before.
Faison
he did that. He did
right?
that
yes.
movie with Steve Carell, and
that's Crazy
yeah,
Stupid
Love.
Love.
Yes, he was great in that. He's great in this, and those two have a great chemistry.
We'll say that in the end they kind of reference what could be a sequel, and I was like,
originally supposed to be a TV show.
Yeah, CBS turned it down.
Yeah,
by was Shane Black.
I'm
yeah,
assuming,
he
yeah.
pitched it to CBS. It was going to be a TV show.
I wonder
and
if
they,
it was supposed to take place in the 70s.
I think so. And they
Ooh.
Passed on it. And
man,
because it was like 15 years ago. It was a while ago.
Oh, right on. Okay, but like if you want to do more of these, I'd be okay with it. You just keep doing these movies.
Right. You know, it's weird. I like the characters. I like the movie, but I didn't love the movie. Not like I thought I was going to. And I really feel like. Kind of felt like Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling didn't get all of the comedy
I feel like Ryan Gosling absolutely did.
I feel like there were a lot of lines that could have been funnier with different line readings, and that I felt like there was a lot of juice left on, you know, like that they could have wrung out of it that they just didn't.
Like, there was definitely a kind of downplaying.
Yeah, and it's like, I think with Shane Black, a lot of times underselling
is his thing.
It works with his stuff, but I felt like they undersold it too much. Like, yeah. I don't think it should have been like Waka Waka Wacky,
right?
But I felt like they were underselling so much that I felt like a lot of the jokes just kind of sat there.
So you know what? As I was sitting there watching this, and thinking about Shane Black and like all of his contributions and tropes, this reminded me of, you know, before we had, now that's what I call music compilations, there was KTEL,
which is fitting for this 70s
KTEL
movie.
So KTEL used to release greatest hits, and they would do the most redacted, cut down, radio edit versions of songs,
like Come Sail Away is 2 minutes.
This was like the KTEL of Shane Black, you know, like as I was watching this, it was like,
do you think maybe it was like a reintroduction of
getting
Shane Black?
All of the, well, I think it was just like he had all these things he wanted to use in his career, and he just like put them all in there.
He had the creative control on this one, so now he could put in all these
so
things.
There was all, but it was, it all felt very like
Condensed.
Well, you know, I get that moment. And there were some that I thought hit, and there were some that I missed.
Well, it was very well written. Like, as I was watching it, even the things that they did undersell, I think to Tom's point is like, I'm like, that is a good joke, or that was really cleverly written.
Right.
But it didn't pop in the theater
like you
would expect. And so I think the writing was there, and maybe they should have had a little bit different reading or different takes, you know, to play it up, but it was that very dry comedy, you know, where
which I think is
like a bit of a delay after a joke of like, oh, okay,
right, yeah, right.
If you got it, yeah.
We're introduced to Ryan Gosling, and Ryan Gosling is this kind of down on his luck PI, and he's working this case for this elderly woman, and she's like, oh, I haven't seen my husband, you know, in two or three weeks, and he was like, okay, and what's his name? And she's like, Fred. And then like above her like shoulder is an urn and it just says Fred, and he was like, how long has it been since you've seen him? She's like, oh, since the funeral. And he was like,
okay,
all right, and just keeps, you know, and he's just like, they do like a voiceover where he kind of says like, you know, I used to be a cop. So they kind of tell you that Gosling used to be a cop, and now like he's got a buddy on the force who kind of kicks some cases, like easy softball cases as a private investigator.
You can tell he's in it for the money. He's just doing whatever. Okay, just telling him yes.
He
taking
does,
the check.
He's almost like he's got the heart of gold, because there's that scene with the gal, with the older gal who is Misty Mountain's aunt, who is claiming that she's alive, and we all know that she's not alive. But like, you could tell at one point he's not going to take her money, but then she starts writing a blank check, and he was like, all right,
yeah,
and I'll go ahead and take it.
He's very motivated by money and booze,
right? And booze,
yes.
He's constantly drinking, and he's always drunk. And then, so you've got these two cases, and they're starting to intersect. So there's this younger girl who hires Russell Crowe.
He meets her like a stoplight, like she's on the run.
Somehow, she figures out that
he has an ad or something.
Well, I think he's the diner guy, which they kind of reference later. So she hires him.
She does, in the back of her car, she has a magazine with his face on it.
Right,
so he has an ad saying like he gets stuff done or whatever.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, because
yeah, that's when she drives off. Yeah, you see the magazine. Picture. Yeah.
Okay.
So they meet at like an intersection, so she's on the run.
Right.
And that's when
he's like, there's two guys that are following me. This is the address of the one guy. So he goes to the house, and it's...
Can I also just say, I love how like when she pays him, like she's like, he's like, you're $7 short.
And she's like, what?
So awesome.
He's like, you're $7
short. But it's
short.
All caring and stuff at first in the beginning.
Right,
it's like, oh yeah, you know, no problem.
And
I'll
she's
get
got
done.
Like 50s in there and 20s, and he's like, $7.
$7.
It was great to show that character's motivation. Like, he has good intentions and everything, but it's also like he has to survive. It's his job. And so like he's very meticulous about it.
Get that
the fees.
To the T.
To the T.
Got Yoo-hoos to buy. They're not cheap.
Oh, see, that was a great scene. That was a great scene. So anyway, he goes to this house, and Ryan Gosling
is the best usage of Yoo-hoo since, where was it, The Firm? There was a Tom Cruise movie where there was Yoo-hoo figured.
Oh, really?
Jeez,
I haven't seen that in so long.
I don't know why I'm thinking like A Few Good Men or something, but I don't think
there was, I'm trying to,
I don't know. So anyway, they go into this. He goes into this house, and Ryan Gosling, like, it's a great scene where he, like, he's in his, like, little apartment, and he walks out of the house, and they do this long shot on, he leaves the brass knuckles on top of the TV.
Yeah.
And he, like, I don't know why this scene made me laugh so hard, but, like, he gets out of the car, and he was like, damn it. You know, grabbing his back pockets. He's like, oh, damn it. Like,
whatever.
Like, yeah, whatever. Going. He just goes in.
Bare hand.
And he immediately punches Ryan Gosling right in the face. And just the way Gosling played it.
Oh, his reactions are fantastic. Yeah. This whole scuffle on the floor. Right?
So good.
He's like, do we understand each other?
Yeah, we understand each other.
And then he goes for the gun and he hits him again. Yeah. Okay, do you understand now? Yeah, and he just keeps struggling.
Isn't there like a cookie jar?
Yeah, he's got a cookie jar.
Right. And it's like, that didn't work.
That's Rockford Files.
Yes, it is. Yep. To like that to the letter.
Yeah. So is his Yellow Pages ad.
Oh, really?
That's almost identical to Rockford.
That's fantastic.
That's why you need us for the old-timey references.
I know, yeah.
There's an even old-timier one coming up.
Oh, yes, there is. Yeah. I got that one.
Yeah.
So that he's got like his arms tucked up underneath him. He's like, give me your arm. He's like, no. So he takes his arm and he was just like, when you go to your doctor, tell him it's a spiral fracture of your wrist. And he was like, what? And breaks his arm.
And so I just have to say, I mean, Russell Crowe's performance is fantastic through in this movie. And it really shows how his character is, again, like with the $7 thing, he is a nice guy. He's a good person deep down, but he's also all about business. I mean, there's a business guy and there's a...
He takes being sleazy very professionally.
Yeah.
Right. And that there are rules and guidelines and that, like, because later he gets so upset where he's just like, well, that's not professional. He's I expect you to try to do this to me, but this other thing...
But you've crossed that line.
That's beyond the
So point. He owns this. Like, no matter what, he's just, like, being so nice to Gosling, he's about to break his arm or fracture, you know.
The way Gosling screams.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was hilarious.
That's Gosling's thing. It's so funny, his high-pitched yell, because you just don't expect that.
But he does it so much in this movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah,
well, it's doesn't Russell Crowe also see, like, somehow, I think he looks at his, like, wallet or something, that he is a private
In the beginning,
he
looks at his wallet.
He's like, you're a PI. He also calls him out, too, because he's just like, you just gave away your client's information. He's like, you don't know me. Right.
And he's like, that's what you asked for. And he's like, yeah, but you just give it up. Like, that writing, that Shane Black writing, that dialogue as a guy's beating someone up. Like, that is the Shane
Black. That is everything
dialogue.
So,
well, then we meet the daughter.
Who's
fantastic.
She's
honestly
great.
She's probably the best.
I would agree.
I thought so.
I thought her interactions with Ryan Gosling were fantastic. Yeah. Like, they were so good together.
He's kind of Iron Man 3-ing it up.
I was
going to
say,
but to
like,
the extreme, you know, with the kid.
Yeah.
To the mic.
Yeah. Because she.
Rock a mic like a vandal?
No.
So, like, yeah, he introduces the daughter, and he's just kind of like, and this is the Yoo-hoo thing.
Yeah.
Where he's like, yeah, you want a Yoo-hoo? And he's like, yeah, I haven't had a Yoo-hoo in ages.
It is A Few Good Men, just for the record.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah. Okay. It was Russell.
Oh, yeah. I knew it was. Yoo-hoo can't handle the truth.
That's, you're 0 for 2, brother. Oof. That was
isn't that a
file?
You said mine was bad?
Wow.
Isn't that A Few Good Men?
When I get my little soundboard thing, I need a sad trombone.
No, you need
like, a button.
Disappointed.
No. Crickets.
Yeah.
Isn't that A Few Good Men?
But he edits it, so he's gonna make it
the truth.
He's just gonna put a laugh track in it.
Isn't that A Few Good Men?
It's gonna be like Real Spoilers is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
You can't handle the truth.
I know. So why didn't that joke work?
Because you were bad at it.
Yeah. But don't worry, it's still not working.
No matter how hard you push. So she's like, you know, he takes the Yoo-hoo, and the next scene is him walking through a club with like this crate
of
Yoo-hoos.
He says something like, I haven't had these in 30 years.
Yeah, right. So he walks up, and this is, we see David Keith.
I think Keith David's his name.
David
Keith is totally opposite.
Totally different guy.
Yeah.
So they, you know, he's like, you have an office up here, and this is where he gets kind of ambushed, and they're looking for Amelia. And I don't think that they tell you the girl in the car is Amelia. They never tell you that in the very beginning. Like, you figure that out later.
Yeah.
But you have no idea who they're talking about.
No, you don't.
For the beginning, it just seems like she's just a
random
chick.
She'd be another case. Yeah, they never mention her name up until later in the movie.
Right. So, you know, they go. This is the scene that Tom was talking about where they go into his apartment/office and they're trashing it. And they've kind of beaten up Russell Crowe a little bit. And he takes it.
He's taking it.
Like a boxer.
Once again, he says it's part of the job.
And once again, he's calling him out on like all of this stuff. Just like, you know, this is the way you have to intimidate. Now you've pissed me off.
Yeah. Well, just, like, they're tearing up his things. He gets it. Everybody's like, then you threw my fish at me.
Right.
He's just interrogating the entire scene.
Yeah. He's just throwing the fish at him. And he was like, you see, I understand that this is part of the job. You're going to rough me up. You're going to toss my place. But now you've killed my fish.
Now you've made an enemy.
Yeah.
Now what? This may be a total dumb question, but what was that the guy got splattered on him?
It was like a banknote.
It was a bank, like a bag that like when a criminal steals the money, they put it in the bag.
So okay.
And he told him, don't open that.
I'm holding it.
Yeah, hold it for a friend.
The dime pack that they use.
He told him very late notice, as in he told him right before he opened it.
No, because he's like, what's in this bag? He's like, don't open that.
I think he held back. He didn't tell him until he walked in there, and then he got it. He's like, oh yeah, don't open that. And then he did it.
Because the other guys who pointed it out, Keith David's characters who pointed out, he's like, what do we got here? And then he's
Keith
like,
David, who has the longest recorded fight scene ever filmed on
that's
film.
Right.
What?
Put on the glasses.
From They Live, the fight scene between Roddy Piper and Keith David is the longest recorded fight sequence on film.
Just to get those sunglasses on.
What about War of the Roses?
No.
What about The Quiet Man?
That beat The Quiet Man.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the... The Quiet Man was the held the record until this one.
Well, Marcos and the Queensberry rules.
Yeah. Well, this actually they were on the Scream Factory version of They Live. They have a commentary track with Roddy Piper and John Carpenter.
Yeah.
And they talk about that scene. And Carpenter's like, was that real? And Piper was like, we were beating the out of each other. Because Piper's doing like legit wrestling, like suplexes and backdrops. And he's like, I was dropping him as hard as I could just to stop. And he wouldn't, like, the dude kept getting up. Yeah. And Piper's like, all right. And they just kept going.
Wow.
And Carpenter's like, I'd never cut.
Keith David, he's one of those that guy kind
of
guys.
He was the voice of Spawn.
Yeah, he's great. Show. He's funny, and you don't see him in a lot of comedies. He was like the father, and there's something about Mary.
Beans over the Frank.
Beans over the Frank.
So as soon as he showed up, I was like, oh, that's cool. He's got great timing.
Requiem for a Dream too.
Yeah, and that's a Lion Riot.
Yeah.
Funny as hell that
one of the. We should do an episode of great movies you'll never watch again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good episode. It's like Schindler's List.
Yeah, Schindler's List is...
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, okay, when I worked at Circuit City now 13 years ago, I bought Schindler's List when the special edition 2-disc DVD came out. I've never opened it. Why did I buy that movie? I don't ever want to watch
that. You should own that movie.
But
like, that's a movie you need to own.
Yeah.
But
to atone.
Yeah.
But it's just like, after I bought it, I'm like, I don't want to sit through and watch this. Why did I buy that?
I did the same thing. I found it on Blu-ray, and it was like on sale for like $10.
That's mine, and
I was like, I need to have this movie.
You can't not own that movie.
At some point, I'll watch it, but like, I don't know.
It has to be like 40 years in the future.
I did watch eventually, though, with Apocalypse. I remember being like, oh, you've heard a lot about this movie Apocalypse Now. And then afterwards, I was just like, whoa.
Did you watch the extended, Redux?
I think it was
that's the only version you can buy now.
Is it really?
I think you can't even find that theatrical cut.
I don't think they have it any other way now.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
What is the dossier or whatever? It's like,
they kind of tell you who Amelia is. And this is where our characters kind of intertwine again, which is another.
These guys are looking for Amelia,
and Russell Crowe knows that Ryan Gosling was also looking for Amelia, so he's just, you know, he's like, I asked around. This is another great scene that you've seen in the trailers where he's in the bathroom at the bowling party in the bowling alley, and he keeps like it's such a simple gag, but the way Gosling plays it, where he's like, the cigarette's in his mouth and it falls in his lap,
the
but
timing. He's like a newspaper or something, he's just multi
the comedic
task.
Timing
he's trying to hold the toilet paper and the magazine
trying to pull his pants up.
It's one take, it's like, you know, one shot, they don't cut during this, and I wonder how many times he had to do it because the timing was so perfect with every kick, the drop, like
it was very well done. He's like, turn around, don't look at me. And he's like, Russell Crowe's like,
trying to pull his pants up for like a minute. And
he's like, you know, there's a mirror here.
He's like, close your eyes. And then he eventually goes, fine, look at me, turn around.
He's just got like the magazine in front of his junk. So they have this kind of a sit down where they kind of, you know.
For his sake, I hope it wasn't a Reader's Digest.
No, I think it was like a Rolling Stone.
The Rolling Stone, like a 70s era Rolling Stone. Yeah. Right?
Not now. Yeah. What a weird thing
for
them to do.
Magazine.
Is that cheaper for them to make it smaller like that?
I think it fits on the rack better.
Oh, okay.
More space.
It's easier to distribute.
And it's cheaper. It's less paper.
Paper quality is worse too.
I think it was a mistake. I mean, it probably was a mistake in terms of money. But I mean, I guess it saves money. But I think it was a mistake in that Rolling Stone magazine.
That's them.
Its sizing is iconic. Yeah. And like, because it was never a normal magazine size.
Right.
Like, even
I have a couple of those back issues too that are like the newspaper.
Yeah. And it's like it was never a regular size magazine.
Yeah.
And so to
make it look like everything
to be like
else.
Everything else, like, but that's not what Rolling Stone does,
right?
But see, and that's the thing is, like, with publishers, is, you know, they're owned by, you know, publishers of their publishers as many other magazines, and they do large paper buys, and they also,
sure,
like you said, they want to fit on the rack, so they don't want to compete with their other magazines,
yeah.
So they shut it, they cut it down, and it's never been the same.
Never been the same, in my opinion. So yeah, this is where they kind of have a team up where
well, he says, I want you to find Amelia after he just beat the crap out of him.
He's like,
don't look
no,
for Amelia.
No.
And then he goes back to the old lady, her aunt, who
she was like,
and he says, I'm not gonna look for her, and she ends up writing him a bigger check.
Right,
and
right.
So he meanwhile is basically like, I'm gonna take this money and not look for her.
Correct.
And now he's saying,
well,
this is where
we get another interaction with the daughter where she sits down and he was like, are you the guy that beat up my dad? And he's like, sucker punched your dad. Like, it's completely different. And he was like, yeah. She's like, how much would it cost to beat up whoever? And he was like, how much you got? He's like, this conversation is over. Yeah. Like, we're not having this conversation.
Their relationship in this was great, too. Russell Crowe and...
the little girl?
And, yeah.
Yeah, and it makes me think that they're, like... The way they played it is like either Russell Crowe always wanted kids and just never did it, or he had a kid. I don't know. Like,
well,
the way
all you really find out from him backstory wise is about his wife, and that's
right.
Even that's great.
That
yeah.
was
nice flashback.
And your dad, great
come again.
Take. He's like, what? And that's it. They don't give you any other references.
That's the only. Yeah.
They kind of give Ryan Gosling the Riggs backstory,
mm-hmm.
where like his wife is killed, but not
the whole sense of smell. Yeah, well,
the sense of smell thing.
But it's his fault.
Yeah,
so he's got
so
that
he's
guilt
kind
that he's
of got the
around.
Rigs.
Yeah.
Rigs. You know,
during the house
Lethal
fire.
Weapon 2. It was like
the way the movie started out when they like went in the backyard. It looked like Lethal Weapon. Like the beginning of the movie, those cameras.
It's in L.A.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, the way the camera work went, mm-hmm. it reminded me of how Lethal Weapon started.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, that's
you
cool.
get the whole overview of
diplomatic immunity.
Yeah,
that's two.
I know. Well, that's what they get the reveal that, like, Riggs is the reason his wife got killed.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
which
two.
Was dumb.
Which is really, honestly, at that point, they weren't, I don't know. One and two I thought were good.
Oh, yeah.
Three, I was kind of like,
three's meh.
Whenever
and
Pesci
then,
four,
then it was like,
four is off the rails.
When Pesci gets involved, it's just,
yeah. What they did with two was smart because they, like, expanded on the story.
Right. And then three
and then
four just kind of did
it was just kind of like,
man, did you
now
see that?
Just cash and checks.
Did you see that trailer for the show?
You don't even care.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you, like, when they said Damon Wayans as Murtaugh, I was like, okay,
right,
I can see that. And then I was like, okay, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, why would you remake the movie into a
well? That's
TV,
the thing. It's
TV 14 show.
They need to make the TV show have a different adventures.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Don't
like,
just remake a movie into a TV
a
show.
A movie that
like,
still holds up,
right? Why
like,
are they
still
doing that?
I didn't realize that they had resurrected the action pack.
It looks like they have, doesn't it?
Do you remember that?
We talked about it. Yeah,
it was this thing on. It was syndicated. It was called the Action Pack, and there was Knight Rider 2000, and there was a Dukes of Hazzard reboot, and there was a Midnight Run,
right,
made with Shooter McGavin,
yeah,
that's and
right.
the Robert De Niro role.
You eat for breakfast?
Yeah.
No,
I had to hit off Frankenstein's fat foot, and it was and there was Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes,
there was. Yeah,
they redid Smokey and the Bandit.
It was called the Action Pack, and every Monday they would do a different one, and they would rotate through them, kind of like the NBC Mystery Wheel with Columbo and
McMillan
and wife, and yeah,
Rockford Files.
No,
that wasn't on that.
No,
and it was there was Richie Brockelman was one of them.
Yeah,
but that was short lived, and then Ellery Queen was
that's
one.
The other one. That's the other big one. Yeah,
Ellery Queen.
But it ran in syndication. And they like I said, they would rotate through them and each one ended up making about five or six. There's a Smokey and the Bandit DVD set that has all three Smokey and the Bandit films and then like all six.
We have that at the job. I think.
All six of the
really?
Made for TV.
I think so.
Smokey and the Bandit movies or just Bandit movies. It's like
Oh so, wow.
Did you see the Smoking the Bandit billboard in this movie?
Yes, I did catch that.
And there was an Airport 77.
There was
there was something else.
There
was a Jaws 2.
Yes, I did see that.
There was the Marquee of the Theater.
And also
scenery.
The Comedy Store was featuring Tim Allen.
And the Roxy.
Oh, did it?
Is that what it said?
And Charles Fleischer. That was him on stage, wasn't it?
I think that was supposed to be Charles Fleischer on stage, and the voice of Roger Rabbit,
too,
at the time, would have been had a reoccurring role in Welcome Back, Kotter.
Also the voice of, I think he's Buster Bunny and the Crypt Keeper.
Oh, okay, I think.
He's not the Crypt Keeper. That's John Cassier.
Okay, so that's Buster Bunny.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the same guess. That's the same guy.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of thought it was supposed to be Charles Fleischer, too, and then the sign
It was the fro.
Yeah. and then later the sign said Tim Allen at the Comedy Store.
So. That's funny.
I think we definitely have to give credit to them setting this in the 70s and how much they made it look like the 70s. Like,
oh, yeah.
They didn't go cheap on that.
The gas crisis.
Yeah. Right. Like, everything is there. Like,
you know what it really reminded me of as well? Another Warner film was Argo. Argo was good for that too, as far as their like
Argo was
goes
big time. Like they just
from the like straight off the bat too, with the logo and everything. The old retro
Warner
logo.
I love the old logo. They did that. It's weird. They did that in The Conjuring. So like, So like in that opening credit sequence back in like the '70s, they like those old.
Enter the Dragon.
The old horror flicks, like The Sentinel or The Omen or The Entity, they'd have like the big white bold credits, and like it would just kind of drop down, and then it would drop down again, and then we'd start. So The Conjuring did the exact same thing. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's smart because it really would take you to have a flashy, slick logo would really take you out of the moment. You know?
I think it's probably true.
And also, I saw film grain on this. Is that an effect, or did he film it on film to make it look more?
I don't know.
It was clean, but in the very beginning of the movie, right when they pan on LA, it's very film grain looking. It's
I think it's probably an effect because like there's that scene later where they're at the car show.
Sure.
And then fades into, but I mean
I just saw the movie, like I saw film grain, and I'm like, I'm not used to that with the digital thing that's gone. So I don't know, I was just curious if he actually had gone back in order to make it look a little more retro.
By
the way, the guy I thought was Dabney Coleman was actually Gil Gerard.
Should I know who that is?
Buck Rogers.
Wow.
Yeah, because they focused on that guy so long that you're like, that has to be someone.
I thought it was Dabney Coleman. I was like, nope, Gil Gerard.
That's funny. That's good. See, that's another. Shane Black knows his stuff.
Yeah.
They team up and they start working this case. And as they're working this case, they realize there's a lot more going on here than they realize.
That we are in the 70s version of L.A. Confidential.
Exactly.
Yeah. Enter Kim Basinger.
Enter Kim Basinger, who still looks good.
Yeah.
You know? I haven't seen her since
L.A. Confidential.
Yeah. I was like, Wayne's World? I don't know.
This is the first time her and Russell Crowe have been in a movie since then.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I was like, man, it'd be kind of awesome if he was Butch. And like, who was she supposed to be in that movie? Who was she made up to look like?
Oh, God.
I know it's been a long time.
Yeah,
it was like Gene Harlow, but it's not
no,
right.
No, that was the deal. Like, that guy was like making those gals look like movie stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as we're going forward, they have to go to this this porn star or this porn director's party.
He talks to this kid on the bike first. That's where
talks
they get the
Chet.
Clues.
Yeah. Talks to Chet on the bike.
No, it's not Chet on the bike. It was some little kid who was hilarious.
Yeah.
This little kid
Chet was
Chet's how they
go
got
back,
to the
that's
house.
That's the she wasn't
the
like
protest.
Yeah.
Protest
yeah.
Yeah,
for smog or something
for the birds.
Any of you want to make $20?
He raises his hand.
I do.
So that's Chet, who is Val Kilmer's son.
We're dead.
Is it really?
It's Val Kilmer's son.
Really?
Oh, man.
Kilmer is Chet.
I wish I had paid more attention to that.
Yeah,
I didn't recognize.
So that's funny. There's your kiss, kiss, bang, bang.
So they go to the house that is burned down.
Right. So it's Amelia's boyfriend.
Yeah.
They're making experimental films.
Yeah. Really artsy experimental films. That they just always refer to as like pornos.
Right. Right. They're like experimental films. Yeah. Fine. Whatever.
And this little kid rides up on a bike, and Ryan Gosling is like, yeah, what do you know about this house? And then he's like,
oh my God.
I love when they do that. Like, my memory's a little rusty, kind of thing.
Like,
you know.
Fucking fine.
So he gives him $20 and he spills the beans that they're making a porno.
But that's not even the best part. The best part is where he's like, yeah, they wanted me to be in it. And he was like, what? He's like, yeah, I got a pretty big. And he's just, Ryan Gosling's like, What is wrong
he's
with
like,
you?
He's like, you want to see it?
He's like, no.
And he's like, $20. He's like, no, I don't want to see
it. But he still gave you $20. He's still like thinking about it afterwards. He's like, what's wrong with kids today? Yeah. This is what Holly has to deal with now, his daughter.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
She's
got to
deal with this kid over here. Yeah. Oh, my God.
The Chets of the world.
The Chets of the world. Yeah. That kid was great, though. The kid on the bike was hilarious. Yeah,
he was really funny.
So they end up going. They realize that this porn producer is going to have this big party because
he thinks his name is like Ladder or something. Like something. He gets his name
hat
wrong.
Hat rack.
Yeah.
Hat rack.
Yeah. He was like, Shattuck, and he thought
he's
his
like,
name
that's
was
the worst last name ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they end up going to this party, and this is another great scene.
This party is fantastic. Like, again, to show the 70s, like what a big, you know, porn producer party would be with all this money and drugs and girls. And
but it was also very reminiscent of the party in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Very reminiscent of the party. Where is that where they meet Michelle Monaghan?
I think that where they run in? Like, she's looking at the books.
Oh, that's right. And the dude makes a move on her and then kicks the crap out of Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
That's right.
And Boogie Nights. I thought there was a lot of, a lot of Boogie Nights.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I could see that.
It was cool, though, how much detail they put into the party. And, like, it was so extravagant. Right. You know, it was a really cool scene.
It was. So, you know, they kind of go their separate ways.
I thought my favorite throwaway line to the sexual decadence of the era was, like, the golden shower joke.
Yeah.
Like, just
on deaf ears, like, went right by.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Where she's, like, the two girls are walking by him, and she's like, oh, and I told him, like, we're not doing that if you don't stop eating that asparagus.
And
I was like,
they just made a
golden shower. For a second, it got me, and I was like,
okay.
Yeah. They just made a golden shower.
Which was great.
Maybe the best golden shower joke since The Simpsons.
It's probably true. So Russell Crowe ends up finding his way into this office while Ryan Gosling
finds his way to the bar.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling. So he's a drunk, he's at the bar, and he sees like mermaids
fantastic.
In like a tank.
This is
good. And then out of like somehow that Russell Crowe comes back, and you like he's got his back to the tank, and you see these two mermaids swim by, and then there's Ryan Gosling behind them, which I thought was hilarious. So then there's this is where they run back into Keith David and the other weird guy. And they have a big old fight. There was a moment where Russell Crowe was fighting Keith David, and I was like, I wonder
if they're going to have a drag out fight.
If they're going to go to break the record, just because,
was a pretty,
pretty good fight. Yeah. So they end up.
But
fighting.
At that point, isn't Ryan Gosling's found his way down?
So there's a great scene where there's a gal dressed as an Indian,
like
a Native American, and then he's like, "I'm a cowboy," and she's like, "What?" And she ends up, he's like,
like shoot me, bang!"
And he falls back, and then he's like, "Oh!" and he flips backwards over this railing,
long hill,
and just like a hilarious take where he's just rolling down the hill,
and the girl's like, "Yeah, that was awesome,"
and then she just walks away.
And at first, I thought she was going to go find him, but she just walks away. Like,
so he lands down there, and then he sees this girl who you recognize. As the girl from the beginning
of
the movie.
He's so drunk and he can't even.
As the viewer, you recognize
him. Right.
He's
like, so drunk,
hey.
He's just like, ah.
Whatever. And then he's laying up against this tree.
And he goes, don't be scared. I'm just looking for my gun. The writing again.
Just all over it. So this is where, like, as I'm watching it, they are doing the Chet scene from Abbott and Costello.
Chick.
I was thinking of the kid.
Yeah.
From Abbott and Costello. So the whole scene where he's trying to light a cigarette with a lighter, and the light, you know, the light from the flame lights up, and you can see the dead body from behind him, and then
he puts it out, and he can't see it again.
Well, then, like, he can't light the cigarette because he's so drunk, and then he lights it, and he looks over, and there's the body, and it is... Like, I texted Tom immediately.
Everyone texted Tom.
I cannot believe that they put, like, and not in a bad way.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, it's such...
It's... His double take and the...
The whole thing, I was like, I cannot believe they put this in here. And like I said, not in a bad way.
Is it kind of like This Is the End with Rosemary's Baby?
Kind of.
Sort of.
Yeah. Okay. But like, it's such a, what's the word? Like, direct.
Oh my God.
Homage
to the, like, a very.
If you would have closed your eyes, you would have thought you were watching another movie.
Yeah, totally. That was the weird part where I was like, that's a weird thing to do.
Oh, there's a more weird part coming up.
Yeah.
Abbott and Costello, this was a routine that they would. In the Frankenstein movie, it's when the candle keeps moving on the coffin.
Right.
He's trying to open. He's trying to call Bud or Chick. In fact, if you watch the scene, there's a point where there's actually a a goof in the scene where he says, "Hey, bud," instead of
"Oh, really?"
Yeah. And they did it a couple times in film because they would, a lot of those routines would get recycled. I think they did it, and they did a haunted house movie.
You said Whodunit?
Called Whodunit,
yeah.
Which is actually one of their stronger films, I think.
Is it on Blu-ray? That's not on Blu-ray, is it? I think it's only Buck Privates and Frankenstein.
I think Buck Privates and Frankenstein are the only two that have been on Blu-ray, but there's a really nice box set, and you get like 50 movies for it goes on sale a lot for like $75 or something.
That's still a good deal.
But yeah, so they would do that routine a couple times. It's probably on their TV show too.
Yeah,
there's two seasons of that.
But yeah, it was just like a very strange spot to put that in.
Yeah,
like I loved it.
It worked though.
Yeah, I thought it was great. But it was like, unless you are a fan of that movie, I don't think you'll ever get that joke.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a huge Abbott and Costello fan.
You know that routine, though, right?
But I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not like a huge fan, and I'm just like, this, it worked so well. It was quirky. Like, I really liked it. And how when Ryan Gosling gets up and he finally finds Russell Crowe, and he's yelling at him, he's motioning like with his arms like over here without saying anything. Like, get down here.
Down? He's like, did you fall down here?
I love that when he meets back up. He's like, how'd you get down here? He's like, wait a minute, you didn't fall.
You fell, didn't you?
And he tried to make it
like
it
was. There's a lot of that. Yeah.
He always tries to make it like it's his PI, like, technique.
Which is another thing they play up in the movie where he's kind of invincible, where every time...
Oh, it's really funny later on.
Oh,
yeah.
God. So they end up... He's like, let's get rid of this body. So they pick up the body, and they go to, like, this fence, and they flip it over the
fence.
They flip it over the fence, and it lands in, like, this wedding reception, and they're, like... It was another
cake.
Yeah, he was like, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
And they both take off.
They run away.
Right.
Great.
So this is... His daughter, Ryan Gosling's daughter, has also ended up snuck into the party, and
she's in the trunk.
Right,
and he tries to valet the car.
He's like, I'm not taking that. I'm not taking that car. But there's also like she sort of believes in her dad, but she also thinks he's kind of a fuck up. But then, like,
you mean like in Last Boy Scout?
Exactly like the Last Boy Scout.
Like, she
is the is it Eliza Dushku, the daughter, in that? Or is it Alyssa Milano?
Oh. I know it's not Alyssa Milano was Commando. She was a
See, now I'm thinking about with Eliza is True Lies.
Was it True Lies?
Well, I don't know.
Or is it Danielle Harris?
Ooh.
That's the Halloween knowledge what that one is.
Yeah.
So now she's doing her own detective work, like where she's walking around asking questions.
It's Danielle Harris.
Okay. That's where she cusses. And he's like, what? You can't say that. He's like, oh, fuck you. And he's like, oh, damn it.
Well, I love his thing is like being grammatically correct. He doesn't so upset about what she's saying.
Yes,
but how she follows it with stuff.
Oh no! This is in The Last Boy Scout.
Yeah. Oh right. Yeah. But they kind of he does that writing in this movie.
There's
it's
like
all
whores
about,
and
like,
stuff, and he was like, "Don't say."
He's
and
like, "Hey,
stuff.
Hey, don't say and stuff.
Yeah, just say
and there's whores." Yeah, it's so funny.
On my finger, on your finger scale, how was my wife? That's also The Last Boy Scout.
Yeah.
So, like, now she is also getting caught up in this whole thing where they think that she's been kidnapped because the guy with the blue face. And then Keith David.
He blew himself.
The daughter's trying to help, and she says that's my sister and looks for her, and then
so they
one of the porn actresses is like, oh, I'll
this
take
is the
it
one
to
you
her.
Want.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, she gets in the car, and then she ends up getting away, but nobody knows that. Because Amelia's there, and Amelia and her kind of take off.
Yeah, she saves Amelia.
Right.
Blueface is about to shoot her.
Knocks the gun, smashes the gun in the car door. And then they're like, hey, you know that girl that was in your trunk? She's in that car. Yeah. And like Ryan Gosling, this is another cool scene where he like steals a Camaro or a Firebird and just takes off. And it's kind of cool chase.
Yeah.
And then the Blueface gets knocked out of the... I'm trying to think. They get knocked out of the car.
Well, he gets out to go shoot Amelia and Holly.
Oh, that's
right.
And this is where he gets crushed by a car.
And you think it's probably Ryan. You think it's Ryan Gosling coming from, but no. It's a van. You're like, oh, did Russell Crowe? Because you don't see him. You're like, did he steal a van? No, it's just kids. They're
just
like, we just hit a guy and drove off.
I've seen that horror.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know what you did last summer.
Exactly,
So Russell Crowe gets there, and she's, and Holly is... Again, like, has the heart of gold, where she's like, Amelia takes off. She's like, we got to get out of here.
She's the morality in this movie.
She's like, we can't leave. He's like, I'm not going to leave you. You're going to be okay. She's kind of holding his hand. Russell Crowe gets there, and he's like, go get an ambulance. Go see if you can stop a car or something. And she was like, okay, and just chokes him out.
Yeah,
like,
this is the moment where, going back to the apartment.
The guy also threatens the kid and Ryan Gosling.
Right. And he's like, you've made an enemy and we're going to go ahead and take care of this.
John Boy is coming.
Yeah, John Boy's coming.
Oh, John Boy.
Which I thought was, he's like from the Waltons.
Yeah, that was, no. Yeah, that one got a few like chuckles from my theater. It did, you know, it just depended on who was there, but other people.
Who remembers Richard Thomas?
So, yeah, Russell Crowe ends up killing the guy, and then she comes back, and he was like,
he didn't make it.
Sorry. So now we get flash. He's like, Ryan Gosling's like, I'm done. Like this.
Well, he shows up to like save the day, but he crashes into a tree because he's so drunk. It should be this heroic moment. He just crashes into a tree.
Matt Bomer is in this movie and he kind of plays the big bad, sort of. I will say there was a time where Matt Bomer was going to be Superman.
Yeah.
If they do Superman on TV. Because Supergirl is now on the CW and there's all kinds of, you know, they kind of reference him. Give that dude Superman, like, on TV. Like, you don't have to say, you know, you've got your movie universe. If you're going to do your separate universes, that's fine. And he also did the voice of Superman on an animated feature, Superman Brainiac. Like, that dude could make a great Superman. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out there. Ryan Gosling's like, I'm done. I don't want to, like, we're finished.
This is where the police show up and then the assistant to.
Oh, that's right. This is where we're introduced to Kim Basinger.
Yeah.
So they kind of she lays out her plan, and she's the one prosecuting Detroit for
the catalytic converters.
Converters. That's what I was trying to say.
Holy cow, I just corrected somebody on a car item.
If you pull out a wrestling reference.
Like more than sports.
Yeah. If you get the hat trick of wrestling and sports, we just disappear, I think.
Yeah. Next we're going to talk about disassembling a solenoid.
Yeah.
All right, I didn't sign up for this. I'm getting out of here. Yeah.
So, yeah, she lays out her side of the story. And they kind of, it's a great scene where she's writing a check. Oh. And he was just
that was funny.
He thinks he's so smart.
So the check says 10, she's like 10,000.
And Ryan was like, this is going to be expensive.
At least he's five.
And she goes, tear that up.
She's like, okay. And she plays it off and tears it up.
And throws it away.
So good. And then he winks at Russell Crowe.
Right, Russell Crowe's also like,
Also, we see here, too, that he has quite an infatuation with, what's her name? Is it Tally or something?
Kim Basinger's assistant.
Yeah.
Right. And he was like, can I get a number for you?
Yeah, we're going to need to talk to her.
Should I get her card as well?
They cash the check, and they realize, now this is where Gosling's kind of shyster kind of mentality with his business. He's like, no, we'll just act like we looked for her for a couple days, and then we'll go hit her up for some more money. And then this is where the daughter chimes in, and she was like, no. Like, you got to lead her on for, like, you know, two or three more days, and then you go back and get some more money.
Well, see, I didn't take it as the daughter giving that advice. I took it as the daughter calling out,
like, morals.
Ryan Gosling on, that's his scam.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that she was like, you know.
She knows the game.
That she knows the game.
For real.
Like, I don't think it was her being smart. I think it was her being a smart ass.
I gotcha. That makes more sense, too.
Yeah.
So Russell, he's like, you know, here's your cut. Here's my cut. And then he's like, I'm done.
This is when you think they're going to go their separate ways.
And they do, sort of.
Well, Russell Crowe almost does.
Almost does.
And then Ryan Gosling pulls out his PI genius.
Right. He's like, it was written on this note or whatever. He's like, your name was on here. This is something else. Oh, somebody found it.
Their lead, like Russell Crowe's about to go.
Yeah, because when they were at the party, Russell Crowe was doing some snooping and he
knows. Right.
He finds the letter.
Yeah.
The little thing written down.
The pink cow notepad.
Right.
And so he thinks it's an airplane code for a flight.
Right.
So he's about to go to the airport is what we find out. And Ryan Gosling, as he's about to leave, is like, but you're not going to find her at the airport. And he goes, because there's a flyover.
There's no fly time.
He takes off all these facts that, like, a savant. You're like, he's really
good.
And even
they leave. And even the daughter, like, cracks a little smile. She's like, there's my dad.
Yeah.
You know?
He's great.
She kind of calls him out at first. She's like, why are you such a fuck up or something?
You can tell she believes in him, but she knows that he's a slacker and not meeting his potential. potential. Correct. So it's not like she hates him, but she's mad that he's not doing what he can do.
Right. Yeah, giving she wants him to all. Get, you know, kind of past the family tragedy, which they kind of...
They kind of reference, and they kind of like just... Well, I mean, they give it to you, and they gloss over it, but it's like it's not important.
Yeah.
Like, it just it gives you an insight as to, like, why he drinks.
Why he drinks so much.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Why she goes out and reads in the field, which is kinda, her
old
house.
Yeah, which is actually a really cool scene where she's like, he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
She's like, you're standing
you
in the toilet.
For?
Yeah. That was that.
Bill Hicks. Well, no, there's a Bill Hicks redeemer. He's like, what are you reading for? So I don't become a waffle waitress.
Does he kind of say Russell Crowe's character say something about that at the beginning? Because remember when he sees her with the Yoo-hoo, and he's like, "Yeah, I saw you in the corner reading somewhere."
Yeah,
and
she's like, "Where?" Yeah, yeah. Because like when after he gets done beating up Roman Polanski, he sees her up on earlier, like
they show her
on the reading,
right? Yeah. And they she kind of says like, you know, I can't. My dad couldn't smell, and my mom was telling about the gas, and like it blew up, and my mom died. So they go to like he reads him. He's like, "That's this place, this apartment, blah blah." And he gets to the apartment and it burned down. And he, like the guy's like
"Hey, it's just here."
Wasn't that the West Hollywood apartments? He's like, "Yeah, they burned down
two years ago.
And he's like, "All right, let's go to the airport."
So he was wrong,
right? So they end up going to the airport and they find it's a hotel. And then this is another great scene where he's like, "Don't you think it's weird that everybody around this case is dying?" So like, Misty Mountains is dead. The boyfriend is dead.
The producer is dead.
The porn producer is dead.
They're trying to go after the girl.
They're going after the girl. They're going to go after Chet.
Yeah.
So they get to this, and this was another, this is a Shane Black scene to the nth degree.
Yeah.
Where they like, they walk up, they go up the elevator. They go to the bartender. Bartender. He's like, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. He's like, well, no, what is the first line where he's
able?
He'll stop doing that.
Doing what?
Cooperate.
He grabs his tie and slams his head in
this. He's totally on board afterwards. No problem whatsoever.
He's like, we can do this easy
way. We're doing this the easy way.
Yeah. And he's just like, this is technically the easy way. So he gives him a little bit more information. He's like, yeah, they're upstairs in the penthouse. He's like, don't go up there, though. The other guy went up there.
John.
Yeah. And like, he was like, okay. So they end up going up the elevator, and then like they stick their heads out, and like one guy's like been gutted, like his throat is gushing blood.
Yeah,
someone goes out the window.
I love the whole like there's this major action scene going on.
That was my favorite part
in the periphery.
Yeah, yes.
Like, I love that.
I'm right there with
then
you.
Then they just get back on the elevator, and it's just
right. The guy. Well, yeah, we see one guy.
They're getting one guy's getting shot,
and then as they get back in the elevator,
one guy comes out the window,
and it's a glass elevator. So you see that person everything. Like.
What was the
Ryan
movie?
Gosling's face is just
fantastic.
What was the like pushing the button as fast as they can
with Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal?
Running scared.
That's like when I think of a glass elevator. That whole scene with Jimmy Smits, is that right? He's the bad guy in that, isn't he?
Oh wow.
Yes. Dang. Is that, like that's the scene I remember. It's like Billy Crystal hanging off a glass elevator and Jimmy Smits. I don't know.
Wasn't there also like a. There was like another movie called Running Scared
with Paul Walker.
Yes,
is that what?
But there was a Wayne
Kramer movie.
I don't know. I remember it being like a soup, like almost like Crank.
Yeah,
like there's a whole scene in like a blacklight hockey arena.
That was the guy who did Lucky Number 11.
Yeah, that's right. But it wasn't a remake. Like it was. But
no, it was a just. Same
title.
Yeah.
That runs, actually, I like
because they're like, how many people are going to know that movie? The Gregory Hines Billy Crystal action comedy that Michael McDonald
did a score for.
Yeah, score for.
If I hear Yamo be there one more time, I'm a Yamo burn this place to the ground.
In Running Scared, you get the
which one?
Mind Bleach, the original one, the scene of Gregory Hines in short shorts and a football jersey midriff.
Oh. Yes. Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
And that was a real thing
that
people would wear.
I don't know. It was something Gregory Hines wore.
Sometimes when you watch like Dazed and Confused, like a character will be in that, and that's such a comedy.
The half shirt.
Yeah, showing that, and it's like, but that was, they were really doing that.
That wasn't a thing. That was, they weren't winking at you.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
He might have been.
He might have been winking at you.
Something was. That was the thing.
Something.
One eye just winking at you.
That's right. 70s, man.
We're short.
That's all it takes is one eye just to wink at you.
Oh, winky wink.
I won't say where.
70s. Yeah, I'm glad I missed that.
That would have been 80s though.
No.
Running Scared was the
80s. Running Scared would have been like 80,
late 80s, mid 80s.
Oh, I think it's like is that when the midriff thing happened? Oh, okay. Yeah, It's painful.
When did midriffs come into style?
Siri. When did the male
Siri
midriff
share? Was 86.
Okay. Never mind.
All right. There we go.
You better clear your browsing history, Tom.
There was no excuse.
So if Crystal finds that, there might be some questions brought up.
Tom's new outfit. Just bought it on Amazon.
Bringing it back.
So yeah, this is the scene kind of in the trailer where he goes out the window and Ryan Gosling's trying not to puke. And then I'm trying to think, where did they go? They rush back to the house.
This well, is where they find.
They pretty much assume that Amelia's dead.
Well, because they're about to
leave. They assume she's dead.
That's
yeah.
right.
Because the hotel's like, yeah.
She's
like,
not dead. She's
but Russell
not dead.
Crow pulls up in like an alley.
And she
stop.
Lands
and
on the car.
And he's about to go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, we should go back.
And she just right, lands right, in right. their lap. Like,
yeah, she
just,
lands in the car.
Shoots at them.
Shoots at them. And then they
runs away.
She trips and falls and knocks herself out.
So they take her back to Ryan Gosling's house.
Where he told his daughter to go to Jamie or Jesse's house or whatever.
Jessica, who like keeps coming up. Like, yeah, there's a scene at the bowling alley where she says something, like, this character says something to Ryan Gosling. Yeah. He's like, fuck you, Jessica.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. They're all crowded around him or
who
something.
Who is it he says? There's a few Hitler references in here, too.
There are at least three Hitler
yeah,
references.
But like, he's like,
I noticed it kept coming back.
Is it your friend with the Hitler stash?
Yeah.
That was number one.
My favorite was when he was like, you know who else was just taking orders?
Hitler.
I counted three at least.
Actually, it was great because in that scene, Russell Crowe gives him the side eye.
Yeah, he's like,
what?
No.
So they end up getting back to the house, and this is where Amelia kind of says that Kim Basinger is behind everything. Like, she's trying to kill her because she has all the information.
The old two sides to every story.
Yeah,
here.
right. And this is where she's like, I was making an experimental film.
Yeah,
and Ryan Gosling's
great
like,
interaction.
You mean a porno? And she
no,
was like, no.
It wasn't an experimental. She's like
but
yelling
apparently,
at him. Yeah.
In the like, they did make a porno, but inside the porno is all of the information as to why.
Yeah,
you know the Kim
all
Basinger's,
the numbers and bribes and
everything that's coming down. So this is
Gosling
think,
calls what's her name,
Tallulah or whatever her name
Tully.
Is
Tally.
Tallulah is going to be on Preacher tonight. That's what's going to happen. So they, I'm trying, do they, oh, they leave. They leave
well,
everybody.
Well, he tells her, he's so infatuated with her, and she's like, have you guys had any luck? And he's like,
yeah
she
got
just came
well,
back, yeah.
Well, wait a minute, doesn't she call and say something about she got a call for like $10,000
or something?
This
is that conversation.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my gosh, I'll send the family doctor over. And she's like, you guys got to do me a favor. We got this call out of nowhere, and you got to bring $100,000.
They were like, okay.
Yeah.
They're all for it. So they go, and then they pick up the money. They leave Jessica, Amelia, and Holly at the house. And then, like, they're going, and then this... like, this was something out of Dude, Where's My Car? This was the scene where I was like, what is happening?
This is where I said it gets weirder.
Yeah.
This is the weirdest out-of-place thing in
so
this
they
I
have
thought
this,
I was, like, sleeping or something.
Movie are we in? Yeah. What is this?
Well, like, I knew something. I'm like,
so funny.
When Russell Crowe's character changes, where he's like, come on, man, and come on, buddy. Carts, well,
yeah.
Like, calling him nicknames, and I was like, what is happening?
And I love this. I was going to say, I
and
love it. It was just
gun.
So weird.
Yeah, he's like, you like that? That's my ankle gun.
But he goes,
oh, man, that's awesome.
He goes, hey, man, you don't have to put your hands on just take your hands off the wheel. They all do. Just take your hands off.
And then the bumblebee,
the killer bee,
voiced by Hannibal Buress.
Yeah.
Was that Hannibal Buress?
It was.
Oh my god. Okay.
And they keep bringing up killer bees in this movie.
Yeah. Well, Gosling is terrified of bees.
Yeah.
Gosling is terrified of bees.
That's why there's a reason they call him killer bees.
That's right. Yeah. So then he ends up like Russell Crowe shakes him and he wakes up because it was all a dream. And they crash, and when they crash, the suitcase pops open, and it's just shredded paper.
You know what I wonder? So and obviously that had to happen so they could not go to this deal where they were going to get murdered and framed, whatever. But in this movie, there are a lot of Deus Ex Machina coincidence.
That's
type
Shane
things.
Black, though.
But they work in this movie, like where you're not like, oh, that's so cracked. But how many things happen by accident?
Well, that's
in this movie?
In Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, everything happens by accident.
But it works great in this setting compared to a movie where it's lazy writing. Where this movie, the tone, it's just. You know, it works.
It's a given.
Yeah. The whole thing's winking at you.
It is.
I'm right, though. Like,
it works.
Kiss Kiss, like, everything that leads them to the end is all just kind of happening by accident. Right?
It's been a while.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, okay. So they realize that they've kind of been had. So they end up rushing. They're trying to call the house, and Jessica's on the phone talking
to whoever
telling all the information. Yeah, John Boy's involved.
John Boy, but not like the one from TV.
She's like telling her friend. It's
right.
But what are they watching? Aren't they watching something?
They're watching
TV?
They're watching the Waltons.
They are watching the Waltons, which was great.
So this is where we're introduced to Matt Bomer, and he kind of walks in. He says he's the doctor, and like Matt Bomer, I think is a great actor. Like he was, I liked White Collar a lot. I didn't see Magic Mike. So
Magic
I don't know.
Mike,
he was good.
But he's been in
he's
some
a good
other
actor,
stuff.
Yeah.
What did else did
he
I
was
see?
On
him?
Chuck.
Yeah, he was on Chuck,
oh,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was in Thor.
What?
He's the guy in Thor, right?
No, you're thinking of Zachary Levi.
Zachary Levi.
From okay.
Yeah,
also,
he's from
also
sorry.
On from Chuck. Chuck. Yeah, I was thinking of sorry.
But that not the original Chuck. Guy.
Yeah.
He's not the original.
No, he had a different guy.
A different guy in the first one.
The Warrior 3.
Yeah. Not Heimdall.
No.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But Volstagg? No.
Never mind. Yeah, that was Zachary Levi. Never mind.
So yeah, that he gets there and it becomes very obvious that this is John Boy.
This is John Boy.
And
yeah, we all know this
is
John Boy.
We know that.
Yeah.
So Holly, to her credit, immediately
she
knows that something
off.
Is off.
Because he comes in and he looks at Jessica and he's like, oh, is this her?
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, you're the family doctor.
How do you not know who she is?
Right. Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, Holly is the real MVP of this movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which is great. The way that they give her, because again, like I think Shane Black gave us a little bit of the like adult level kid in Iron Man 3, like where his intellect, where he was able to hold his own with Robert Downey Jr. And in this movie, they turn her into like the third detective. You know, she's just as much a part of this team, even
taking
though,
things in her own hands.
Yeah. And they don't want her in danger, so they're constantly counting her out. But she is responsible for a lot of their success. And, and it would have gone way downhill earlier if it weren't for her. So
Correct.
She's a great asset.
Oh, yeah. She was fantastic.
Holly's actually the only reason. I mean, she's the deus ex machina.
She is the one that's
any case whatsoever that they're pursuing is because
Amelia
she keeps finding it.
Amelia would have been dead at the party.
Yep.
Yeah.
Done, you know?
So they get, like, there's a big kind of fight sequence. They get.
He throws the little girl through the window.
My
Jessica gets.
Which is, you know what? We talk about how, like, you don't see violence against kids.
It's in the 70s. Yeah.
So, like, when he tosses this girl through the window, I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was a nice moment.
I know what you're saying.
It changed the stakes of the movie.
He's no joke.
Because up till this point, the movie's like people are dying, but nobody that really matters, and you don't really. There's no
right.
But when he picks up a kid and throws him
through
a plate, chucks her through a window, and anybody who's raised a kid, I've been there. I feel for you.
This is your fourth window on this house, right?
Yeah, Joel is. Why we're selling it?
I haven't went through a window, but real story, I have fallen through a glass table before. And I was like 5 or 6.
Were you in a movie?
Let's just say Power Rangers were involved.
Yeah.
But I'll just say
I was going to say wrestling. Power Rangers.
But so the stakes, it completely changes
they
the
do.
Stakes.
So he goes to his car, and when he walks out to his car, like, this is where Russell Crowe and
I like
Ryan
that he,
Gosling,
like, waves at them. How's it going, guys?
They were just like, all right.
Hey,
and then,
did you just hear all that commotion? He's like, yeah. And he's talking while he's opening
clink,
the trunk.
Clink.
And then he pulls out
a machine gun. And this is where we start to get the Ryan Gosling is invincible.
Yeah.
Where no matter what they do, in typical 80s movie
he's running through the bullets.
Right, the bad guys have the worst aim ever. They're
and
like,
even Russell Crowe
with the machine gun.
Russell Crowe waddles away from bullets somehow because you know what I mean. His pace.
Well, Gosling's like diving and and doing
stuff. Russell Crowe's just like, oh, I'm getting away, and it's not enough funny. Like it's his character, seriously. Yeah. But you're like, how did he not get shot by all those?
Right.
You know.
So he ends up getting into the house, and they realize that everybody's okay. Amelia is gone. She
grabs
at
Jessica
point.
In the process.
Right, grab Jessica, and then like they get inside and they close the door.
What's interesting about this part, the only thing that I kind of question here is I don't know how Holly got away from him because he threw out the window and she had him at gunpoint and he's like, says whatever. And then in the next scene, he's walking out. So it's like they had a standoff and then the next
maybe
scene,
he just kind of.
It's just weird. They didn't
maybe
really,
after he tossed a child out a window.
Well,
she's like,
I think he used the. Because when Ryan Gosling comes back in the room, like she comes out and, basically gives him the gun.
But he was like approaching her, but like going towards her, even though she had the gun. And then he just was leaving. So I thought he wasn't leaving.
I think he was going.
What did he just turn around and go, okay, I'm leaving? Like she had him at gunpoint. So it was a weird.
Well, he used
it. Maybe that's what it was. Like a standoff real quick. Like, okay. And then like, I'm going to come back with a surprise.
Yeah,
he just used the throwing
didn't.
Of a child through the window to make his exit.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Gotcha.
So there's a big shootout, which is kind of cool. Like it was well done. It was fun.
Didn't like that tree anyway.
He mows down a tree with a machine gun. Falls on top of the house.
And this house, by the way, which they are renting until their house gets built, which hasn't even started.
Yeah. Which is that's Lethal Weapon. Like, he's constantly building that house.
Oh, right.
Like,
oh,
in, yeah. In the first one, he's in the trailer.
Trailer, yeah.
And I think in the second, in the trailer that's on the property where they were building the house. Is that right?
I think it's been a long time.
All right. I think that.
But yeah, it sounds right that he's
they don't,
living.
They end up finish building the house until he ends up hooking up with Rene Russo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he gets in there and they kind of
his
have.
His house is getting destroyed. Their rental property is just destroyed.
And then he, they end up, the John Boy drives away.
Because the police are coming.
Because the police are coming. And
And this is the big moment
the
that you do not
like,
see coming.
Oh, God.
This whole movie and the whole time they're trying to keep Amelia safe. Well, she ducks out because she's like, thanks a lot for nothing to
bolts.
Russell Crowe's character because she's obviously still in danger and let him to her.
Right.
And so she goes out the window. Well, meanwhile, when John Boy makes his escape because of the police, she flags
hitchhikes.
Him down.
Yeah. And he just goes,
and you're just like,
well, that
oh.
was easy. Bam.
Bow.
And
just
right
out the window
her.
And drives off.
And like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it's, it,
again,
know,
the stakes are real. Like, I love that they showed that not everyone's invincible.
Right.
And your main character, the entire movie revolves around.
Right.
That they're trying to rescue you. They think, oh, in the end, they'll all get away safe. No, just in an instant.
Not the case.
Shot
Boom.
And gone.
That character is gone.
So you're like, okay.
So this is where they all, like, all of our characters kind of hit the wall or hit rock bottom.
They're obviously upset because Russell Crowe is, you know, couldn't protect Amelia.
Well, now they're starting to think, like, not only have we been set up,
mm-hmm.
but now Amelia's dead.
Yeah.
So they realize, okay, maybe she was telling the truth. Or, like, what if they were both telling the truth? It's kind of what the...
Yeah, that's a great explanation where Russell Crowe goes on this long story
right.
where there's, like an Aesop's fable, you know, where
was,
he's
that
trying
was, that
to...
That was cool. That was a cool little monologue.
Yeah, where he's trying to say, like, in the end, he's basically saying, maybe there's two sides to every story.
And
Ryan Gosling, he's having this serious moment, and Ryan Gosling is just like, why don't you say that?
He's like,
what?
He's like, so wait, what you're trying to say is that they could have both been telling the truth? And he was like... Yeah, he's like, why didn't you just say that?
And just totally shuts down his whole story.
Why didn't you just tell me a 5-minute story?
Yeah, why did you just that's so funny. So funny.
So they end up going, there's this big car show, and they realize that this is where the revelation that, like, the film.
Well, they go back to
the old lady.
Yeah, yeah.
And the old lady this entire time has been like, she was right there in the window.
Yeah.
Misty Mountain, the character.
Right. She explains the pinstripe suit.
I saw it in the window.
Yeah, and Russell Crowe goes, I've seen that.
And this is where Gosling's like,
what?
Wait a minute. So they end up going to Misty Mountain's house and they find like a pop-up projector. So that has the film on it.
Doesn't have the film on it.
Oh, yeah. Had the film.
That's
I'm
how
sorry.
The old lady saw the
but
film.
But they realized from the angle that she was at, though, that that's what she was seeing.
Yeah. Right.
She was seeing that
at a
scene.
Desk in the pinstripe suit. Yeah.
Right.
So they're watching the movie.
There is another copy, and they realize they go back and talk to. They
was
talk
it,
to somebody.
It wasn't.
He's like, "Where's Chet?
The projectionalist.
The projectionalist.
Projectionalist. That's a running gag for the whole movie.
Yeah. So they end up realizing that Chet is going to be at the car show.
You know, there's like, one moment where Ryan Gosling messed up and called him projectionist, and I'm like, oh, they didn't keep
it
going.
I know, I thought that too.
And it couldn't have been on purpose because he calls him a projectionist
later.
The whole time.
I know, I
when he sees
reaction.
The kids that are standing around, they go, where's Chet? And they go, who? And he goes, the projectionist. And I'm like, he messed it up. It messed up the running gag because he should have said projectionist.
I guess I just heard it as projectionist.
Yeah, he said it right that time. And I'm like, oh, that. Bummer, but whatever, just a little thing, but I'm like, there's no reason why he would have ruined that joke because it was a running, you know.
So they end up this is where
how'd you know my name was Buddy?
Yeah. Thanks, Buddy.
Buddy.
How'd you know my name was
what
Buddy?
A random joke
with
that
three
was.
Guys who look like these came straight from Kansas or something, like a band Kansas it looked like.
Yeah.
So they end up they go to this big reveal for these new cars and there's all this stuff and they're gonna play this is where they're gonna play the movie. This is where
and they can't find it though. They're looking through all
nobody can find it anywhere.
Yeah.
And then, so John Boy ends up finding Chet, and then
beats the crap out of him and throws him in a
dumpster. It turns out that the film is spliced into another film,
the real highlight reel.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is the scene where they get held up by the assistant.
David.
No, by the assistant, where they're in the room.
Oh yeah.
And like Ryan Gosling is like grabbing at Russell Crowe's leg, and he's like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
And he was like, "Your ankle gun." He's like, "I don't have an ankle gun."
Who told
gun.
You
Who
had
told
an ankle,
an ankle gun?
Gun?
And he's like,
"That was."
I dreamed that, didn't I?
It's a great throwback. To that because at this point in time, I thought he had an ankle gun, too. Like,
right.
I had forgotten that it was part of that dream sequence.
So what I thought they were going to do is that Russell Crowe was playing him, and he actually was going to have
right.
ankle, like, the whole time. It was just to be on the other leg.
Which it was totally
a dream.
He doesn't have one.
Right. So they end up, like, they split up at this point, too, because...
Meanwhile, Holly's in the hallway.
There, too. No, here's the Deus Ad Machina, where she slips and falls and knocks herself out.
Room service brings in a plate of food, and but the assistant's like, "Come in, Holly. That was very smart of you." And she takes a pot of coffee and throws it, and you're like, "Yes, burning coffee. Why'd you just throw cold coffee on me?"
I don't really think that's a Deus Ex Machina because
where she slips.
Where she slips because she. It was a plan that just had an unintended consequence.
But it still,
ended up working.
But it still was accidental,
not the way she wanted it to.
But it
wasn't quite like she just slipped for no reason. Like that. You know what I mean? Like that would
just happen to be a banana peel.
It was like
a shoelace. She had my heels.
Right. She just had a big plan and it completely backfired.
Okay.
And then she's thinking, "Haha, your plan backfired," and it turns around and slips. And
right. Because they wrote that on purpose to have the cold coffee and then the slips. Right. That was all more the joke.
It's a hotel. I mean, there's always room service cards sitting outside.
And it was in the hallway, so it makes sense it would be cold.
And she's a kid. She doesn't know.
It's somebody else's.
That they bring the food into the room. It's when it's in the hallway, it's because you've already eaten it.
She's
12. Yeah. She doesn't know any better.
So she gets knocked out, but then Ryan Gosling puts a pillow under her head.
He's so infatuated about her.
Even though she just held him at gunpoint.
He's like, what does she say? She's like, "I killed 3 people in Detroit." And he was like,
"That's not really you deep down."
And she's like, Russell Crowe's like, she just said, "You're not really a murderer." And Russell Crowe's like, "She just said she killed 3 people in Detroit." He's like, "Yeah, but like deep down."
He goes, "Maybe the first, but by the time you get to the third, you're pretty committed." Right. You know?
So they're all running back and forth and they're trying to get to this. John Boy is like opening fire on everybody.
Well, not yet. It's when after the movie starts playing. So
he ends up shooting at the thing, and then you know, there's a big shootout. This is where Ryan Gosling's tale of invincibility, like every time he turns around, like he's getting knocked out. He's fighting David. No, I said it right the first time.
Yeah.
Scene, by the way, I remember that seeing that part in the trailer, and that's kind of what got me too.
Yeah.
Now there was one piece that was in the trailer that I wonder if it was just a cut scene or something with Ryan Gosling where, they fall
right
and Keith David falls to his death, like very bloodily. Yes. And Ryan Gosling falls in the pool. But there was one scene I remember in the trailer where he comes out and he's just like,
"I'm alive.
I'm alive.
That must have just been because the scene where he tries to not puke in an elevator also wasn't in the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's just him like we gotta get out of here. All hell breaks loose. They end up John Boy and Russell Crowe get into a pretty good brawl up on the, and this is where she walks out and she's like, "Don't you kill that man. You know, if you kill that man, I'll never talk to you again. I'll never blah, blah." And he was like, "You owe your life to a 13-year-old girl." And then just punches
him
in the face. And then, you know, this is kind of, it wraps everything up.
Oh, and then Holly goes back with Tally with the film. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because we got to get that film. It's all the way upstairs. Lo and behold, a nice film like reel just rolls down.
It's all because of Holly.
That's a little more easier.
Ryan Gosling grabs it and is like holding on to it. And he's like, "This is the part where the cops show
Detroit
up."
Was it the auto guy who like his people are running after him trying to get it too?
Yeah. So, and of course, like just randomly, they end up like
one person has it, the next person has it.
Right.
It's like,
so it wraps up, and then we're back in a, like, everything. Kim Basinger is kind of going to get in trouble, but then...
Well, he's like, "Don't look at her. Don't look at her."
It's a very cool... They're sitting in a courtroom, and or like a court hallway or whatever.
Yeah. And he speaks in German again.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. Just doing what I was told. So then they're at a bar, and this is where you kind of get the idea that they're if they make some enough money, they would like to do a sequel where, like, now Ryan Gosling's ad includes... Russell Crowe. He's like, "Sorry, you look like kind of Mexican."
Puerto Rican.
Filipino.
Filipino.
He's like, "Why is this?" Like, "I don't know." But yeah, like,
it's called the Nice Guys Detective Agency.
Yeah. And it was, you know, and then we kind of roll credits.
Yeah.
But I thought, like, I was hoping it would do more money. Like, that's really what it comes down to. This was a nice return for Shane Black. Like, it's good to see him. Like, we haven't seen him do something of his own since Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Like, Iron Man 3 isn't really... That's not his.
Yeah. I think he put as much of his stamp on Iron Man 3 as any director has achieved within the
MCU. Absolutely. Took Iron Man out of an Iron Man movie and made it about Tony Stark talking.
Right.
I mean, it was so good, or at least I didn't really enjoy it.
No, I thought it was great. I thought it was great.
I know a lot of people didn't like it because it was an Iron Man movie without Iron Man.
A lot of people are wrong.
Yep.
They're all wrong.
But I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. It's been a long time since I've seen like a buddy, not a buddy cop, but you know,
a rated R action buddy cop movie.
And it's been a long time and I miss those type of movies.
And it was about something. There was a plot to it.
There
were
things
where, you know,
it wasn't like completely slapstick or something.
And it wasn't just, the storyline wasn't just a delivery system for action scenes.
No, it wasn't. No, it was a story. Smart, it was a smartly.
You cared about everybody. Yeah. Like everybody played it up perfectly.
Yeah. Good acting. Good. I mean, it really had a good story to it. So yeah, I missed that. It made me realize how much I missed those kind of action movies.
Those are the movies I like when I started to move from like younger movies, like
to watching Lethal Weapon,
or Die Hard, or Last Action Hero, and stuff like that. Monster Squad.
Besides that,
right. But like, those were the movies I started to get into, and like those
we both grew up with those. We really have a nostalgia
I think as much as, you know, we were the VHS kids,
right?
Like, you go to Blockbuster and just like scoop up as many VHS movies as you can. And I think this fits perfectly into that genre.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, it doesn't miss a beat. I think it's a nice return to form.
Yeah, you know, it's one of I almost kind of wish they would have released this a little bit later in the summer.
Oh, I really did.
Or earlier in the year.
Yeah. Either like March or August.
This is really unfortunate.
Although I will say
it.
That August movie War Dogs looks pretty good.
Which one's that?
That looks really fun.
Jonah Hill, Miles Teller.
Yeah.
It almost looked like
with the guy who is it? They said the maker of the Hangover trilogy.
Yeah, Todd Phillips.
But it looked good anyway. So
he had a good run.
Hangover 1. Well, he didn't have a good run. He had Hangover 1.
No. He did because he did. He was. Oh, dang it.
Hangover 1.
But it kind of looked like Wolf of Wall Street, but for gunrunners.
It did. Yeah.
There were a lot of like hints of Wolf of Wall Street from that preview I was seeing. Well, mainly just Jonah Hill with like snorting coke.
And it reminded me. Well, and it kind of reminded me of, was it that John Cusack movie where he sells?
Nicolas Cage.
Lord of War. Was it Jared Leto?
Uh-huh.
And that?
It made me think of that.
That's what it made me think of.
And there was the Gregory Hines movie, Deal of the Century.
That's right.
Oh. With Chevy Chase, where they were gun runners and stuff. So
Todd Phillips did Road Trip, Old School, The Hangover, Due Date, and then War Dogs.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Hangover. Sure. I mean, Old School is before Hangover.
Are you kidding me?
I think Hangover was. But Hangover was the last.
Old School was great.
Yeah. So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah, so I was thinking about, you know, the source material for this and then decided to kind of revisit some of the classic buddy cop or cop movies from the 70s. And there was like a bunch, and I could give you a bunch. Freebie and the Bean is one that really stands out from 1974, which was huge back then.
Yeah.
With Alan Arkin and James Caan. But the other
one. That's a win right there.
Yeah. I mean, it is worth checking out. It is great. It has a good amount of action in it, and it's true to this movie. Another movie was Fuzz from 1972 with Burt Reynolds. And this is a unique movie. And I opted for this one because of the Julia Roberts thing that we've been talking about. And in this movie, it's written by, I can't think of the guy's name. His pseudonym's Ed McBain. It's the 87th Precinct. Huge series of books. And it's sort of an ensemble piece. Burt Reynolds is only, I mean, he's got the you know, name above the credits, but he's just like a small part of this movie. And it's a precursor to what kind of became Hill Street Blues. And it's like one of the, you know, first like sort of true everyday life at the precinct kind of movies. And there's various cases. There's like multiple cases going on. There's a Yul Brynner plays a character called the Deaf Man, which was in the books quite a few times. He was kind of like their Moriarty, who is calling and saying, if you don't pay X amount of money, I'm going to take down one of your, you know, the governor or the politicians, whatever. And he is doing that. There's another case involved with homeless people being set on fire, which unfortunately around the time this movie was released, that happened a couple times.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
really?
It was
a
actually
thing for a little while.
Yeah. This movie was pulled from, you couldn't see this movie for a long time, because of that. And then there's also, some, you know, serial, rapist in the park, and Raquel Welch is in this movie and she only worked like, I don't know, it was like, she worked in super short amount of time on this movie.
It almost sounds like an airport movie, but for cops.
Yeah, exactly. It's got Jack Weston, Tom Skerritt, Burt Reynolds, and Raquel Welch. And what's interesting about this movie is that Burt Reynolds. I mean, the main scene is the, you know, he and Jack Weston are in disguise as nuns. But, you know, Burt's got his mustache. Right. So the whole time he's just kind of like trying to keep his face covered. So they're trying to catch these kids doing the homeless, you know, chase burning the homeless people. And they have this big chase sequence where they're running in their nuns garb.
Undercover.
Yeah. So they
man, you're trying,
that
brother.
Was that was better than you who can't handle the truth.
So there's the what's interesting about this movie is that apparently Bert and Raquel did not get along at all, and they would not work in the same scene together. So they would have to.
It's like
they would
Mad
like
Money
have the that. You know the stand-in
money
for one
a lot
and
of over the shoulder
too
shots.
Much, too much. There's one scene where they're actually in the same frame and they're like at opposite ends of the set. And they don't make eye contact at all.
Wow.
Too much beauty for one scene there.
She saw that picture of Burt Reynolds on the bearskin rug. And just
That picture is integrated in the movie poster of this. And I'm like,
what?
Yeah,
that
if you find the movie poster,
too,
of this,
right?
It's on the movie poster. Like, it's an illustration
it's
of it.
The
I'm
movie
like,
poster.
But it has nothing to do with this movie.
They're trying to get women to go to see it.
And this movie's actually on YouTube. So, you know, you could just find it that way. But it kind of harkens back to what? Yeah, Shane Black is capturing, and that you know is one I think worth checking out, or Freebie and the Bean. I mean, if you want to see like sort of like the source material for that, check that out. That's great. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Dan.
A little Alan Arkin playing a Mexican. A little,
like, Charles Heston did it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
So, well, I guess that's it for this one. So let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
Orlandez here. You can find me at Twitter at RetroVinylKid.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me at KevinRBrackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at RogerKubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you'd like to continue the conversation online, we'll be waiting for you at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers, or feel free to go to iTunes where you can rate and review and subscribe to us. So that's it for this week. I believe our next movie episode will be X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I believe that's unless we decide to do Alice in Wonderland, but that doesn't sound like us. That sounds like we do X-Men.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go on a limb and say we're probably more of an
probably
X-Men type of a podcast.
Do X-Men.
So that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Danny and Ray think they might buy a bar in Florida.
Now, prisoner 24601, your time is up and your parole's begun. You know what that means.
Yes, it means I'm free.
No. Follow to the letter your itinerary. This badge of shame will show it till you die. It warns you're a dangerous man.
Stole a loaf of bread. My sister's child was close to death. We were starving.
You'll starve again unless you learn the meaning of the law.
Know the meaning of those 19 years. A slave of the law.
5 years for what you did. The rest because you tried to run. Yes, 24601.
My name is Jean Valjean.
And I'm Javert. Do not forget my name.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do not forget me. 24601.